think about assistive technology, what springs to mind? Smartwatches? Robotic vacuums? Maybe the voice of Siri? Well, in the world of disability, many and varied forms of assistive technology are making a big difference to people's lives. And now that the NDIS funds a lot of what they call reasonable and necessary supports, assistive tech is becoming a major industry. It's helping people do things that most able-bodied people take for granted. Today, we're heading out with Mandy McCracken. She won an ABC Regional Storyteller Scholarship, and Mandy knows about having to adapt to new ways of living, and she wants to find out more about these innovative technical solutions.
Ever since I lost my hands and feet to sepsis at the age of 39, I've relied on various gadgets and prosthesis to help me do simple everyday tasks. Now I have three sets of legs and a whole cardboard box full of arm attachments for things like chopping veggies, digging in the garden, and even just holding a pen. So today I'm on the hunt. I want to discover the latest devices that are on the market and what difference they can make to people like me, someone living with a disability.
We are at the ATSA Independent Living Expo, and that stands for the Assistive Technology Suppliers of Australia, and it's basically anything to do with disability. Little bits and pieces that are going to get somebody living with a disability more independent and able to do things that the able-bodied world take for granted.
What Gecko Strikes does is change that. So for people like myself who use manual wheelchairs, we better slip it on ourselves and join the activities like everyone else, join the rest of the fun.
That's Hoy Nguyen. Hoy and his business partner created a slip-on tyre to help wheelchair users go places that were never previously accessible, including the forest and the beach.
People share fantastic stories with us, like they, you know, better go on the beach by themselves and, you know, hang out with their friends or partners where you wouldn't usually have before, which is, you know, fantastic for us to hear.
But being physically active as a person with a disability can be a real challenge. Thankfully, today we have an ever-growing range of options available to us, even for those who have never been able to participate before. Meet Tibor from DJ Medical and Scientific.
Tell me, what is it that you've got? Something bright red and it looks like it goes fast.
It's called a race runner. A race runner is a three-wheeler. It's like if you've seen the Paralympics where they have the wheelchairs and the wheels are splayed slightly on the side, the racing wheelchairs. This is a three-wheeler where people can sit on it, lean forward onto a chest plate and put their hands on the handlebars, and then they can propel themselves with their feet.
So who are the people that use these bikes?
A lot of people with cerebral palsy and other levels of disability. It's more for mobility and freedom, also helps them with cardiovascular, building up some muscle, and gives them a lot more confidence and makes them keep up with their siblings.
I would say that the people that use these would almost have never have run before in their life.
Most of them can't run, and that's why it gives them the freedom of having a bit of speed and a bit of pace. And it's also rewarding. I mean, we get to see the smile on children's faces when they actually get the mobility that they've been looking for. Same thing with the parents. I had one, brought his daughter in, and we got her onto one of these and went for a bit of a run around the expo. And when we came back, he had tears rolling down his face because he never believed his daughter could do it.
So where did the idea for these come from?
There was a lady who was a Paralympian called Connie Hansen. And she realised, you know, you can walk and you can run and you can have a wheelchair, but there was nothing in between the two of them. And apparently she created on the back of a beer coaster, came up with the idea, and then the development went on from there.
But these light bulb moments take a lot of work and an enormous amount of trial and error before making it onto the market. Ryan Tilley is an industrial engineer at Rove Wheelchairs.
You're able-bodied. What made you want to get into building stuff for people with disabilities?
It was an experience over in Singapore where I actually spent 3 days in a wheelchair. For me, that was such an eye-opener, and I just wanted to begin using my skills to be able to help people with limited mobility to be able to get out and explore.
It is people like Ryan who can make some of the biggest impacts in the disability world. And when the designers get excited, assistive technology can go forward in leaps and bounds.
Right here, we have a fully custom wheelchair frame that we can make to the millimetre for your body. And what we've done is use 3D printed titanium logs to produce the custom angles and then combined with carbon fibre tube. So using both super lightweight materials, and the combination of this is we allow all the titanium is in the points where you might contact or drop the chair, so it makes it super durable.
Everybody's very excited about 3D printing, and I'm yet to believe that that's the answer. How would you sell it to someone like me?
I'm going to get you to just to pick up that frame right now, Mandy, and we'll show you what 3D printing titanium is all about, and then guess the weight.
All right, hang on. Oh, I'd say that'd be, it's less than a kilo, isn't it?
Just slightly over.
Wow. So what would a normal wheelchair frame weigh?
Depends on the frame, but typically it'd be like 3 to 4 kilos for a frame of a wheelchair. And we're using these advanced technologies, we can seriously undercut that.
One thing that I thought to myself was, how does someone who's dealing with a wheelchair actually get their wheelchair into a car? So is this going to be solving that problem?
Typically, you'd be picking up a wheelchair with your arm fully extended to actually leverage that back across your body and then into the car if you're transferring manually. And so making it 1 kilo, 2 kilos lighter than a standard or other standard wheelchairs makes a huge difference when transferring like that.
You've conquered wheelchairs. What's going to be the next thing that you're going to create?
For us, we're working on the wheelchair frames at the moment. These are a day wheelchair for standard use. We'll be looking soon into sports wheelchairs in the sports arena for Paralympics, making those go faster, be lighter. The standard weight for transferring it into a car typically is without the rear wheels. We're looking at 4 kilos. And a standard chair with the wheels on, you're maybe looking at like 6 kilos. We can do better.
Fantastic. Well, good luck with that. I look forward to being able to throw my wheelchair over my back shoulder and into the back seat. That'll be great. Well done.
Cool. Thanks, Mandy.
But is assistive technology just about wheelchairs and getting us moving again? I asked Lisa Robbins, an occupational therapist from the Royal Children's Hospital, what her role was around assistive tech.
So I work with children from 0 to 18 years who have been born with limb differences or have acquired limb differences. And as an OT, we help them do all the things they need and want to do.
Assistive technology, that to somebody listening may be more computers and home automation and, you know, stuff that costs a bucket load of money. Does it need to be that complicated?
We look at the high-tech stuff, it's often quite exciting, the bionic sort of stuff, but actually some low-tech stuff is really, really important. Things like a cover that you can put on your arm to help you easily wheel your wheelchair can be something that's sewn on a sewing machine. And so it's really about what's the problem and how can we solve it the easiest, least restrictive way.
Tim Marchington works alongside a team of engineers at Solve Disability Solutions, and they might just be the people with the answers.
We have here today something that I brought in as a sample, which is a fish holder. The gentleman we made it for can only use one arm. When he uses his fishing rod that we made for him to reel in his fish, albeit one-handed, he then needed a way to extract the hook out of the fish. So we drop the fish into this device and he stands on it with his foot while he then uses his other hand to extract the hook and put his fish in the bucket and go home and have a nice tasty meal. And he couldn't find anything like that on the market, and our engineers, let's say, MacGyvered it up for him.
As a leisure therapist, it's Tim's job to work out ways to conquer the physical obstacles that people might have. And it seems that it's only your imagination that's going to stop you.
We had a gentleman who was interested in sailing, and our engineers modified the controls of a sailboat so that even though this man had a spinal cord injury, using a chin control and an electronic straw is able to sail his boat independently. Those controls help him to operate the tiller and the mainsail, and he can sail competitively independently.
So is assistive technology all about simply providing people with solutions to allow them to live a healthy, productive and independent life, or does it go further than that?
Some of the work that I do as a leisure therapist is engage with them about what sort of things make their soul wag its tail and help them find ways to get back to doing those things in perhaps a new or modified way, but ultimately giving them the same gratification and meaning, but in a way that makes them feel that they have some authority about what that looks like, and then using our engineers to help design ways to make that feasible and possible.
One thing nobody talks about is sex and intimacy. I became disabled at the age of 39, and it literally threw that out the window.
I believe that everyone has this happiness puzzle. Think about it as slices of pizza, you know. One of those slices has got to be your intimacy, your relationships, your family, your role in your family. And I think sexuality is a part of that. It's not something that we deal with directly here at Solve, but we recognise that people may need assistance in the physicality of being intimate as well. And so I'm open to any challenge of if someone needs something designed to help them to have more safe space like that. I think that's a really valid contribution. I'm open to any challenge with our team.
Brilliant. Good luck.
I just imagine the sorts of inquiries we're going to get now. My team will be like, you what? No, but I really do believe that. I believe that. So.
Someone here today is already a step ahead of Tim. Meet Heather Morrison, CEO of Handy. Heather's younger brother, Andrew, lives with cerebral palsy and for over a decade has been a sex and disability activist. Heather explained why, with the help of her brother, she is working to improve the lives of people with disability.
Through his work and lived experience, he gave me my light bulb moment a couple of years ago to understand that so many people with physical disabilities really struggle to be able to access their sexual pleasure. And so I said very naively, shall we change that? And just as naively, he said yes. And that was 2 years ago. And yeah. From a young age, many people with disabilities are either told or taught through culture, society, or systemically that they're not sexual, or that they're asexual, or that maybe they're not supposed to have sexual feelings. But at the same time, they are having them just like everybody else because they're human beings. And ultimately, it comes down to having a conversation, opening up those conversations to break down the taboo, bringing them out of the shadows, understanding where those feelings are, and just getting under the skin of sexuality and disability and dating and relationships, and just having a chat and normalizing it.
So you're holding on to quite a device there. What is it that you've got?
Yeah, so this is a very crude prototype of the Handy joystick. Right now, it's like if a foam roller and a body pillow had a love child. It's a little bit cushiony, it's kind of a foam roller, but it will have that cushiony vibe and it will be quite large. So basically the way it's been designed is to take the reliance out of fine motor skills, because that is the biggest barrier to not only masturbation but also to using any of the toys on the market. They assume that you can keep something in place, keep a rhythm in place, and have the dexterity to manipulate fine buttons and controls, which most people do not have. And so the way it's created and designed is actually to transfer that reliance into your gross motor skills, your limbs, your upper limbs, your torso. We know there's a lot of people who have toys that they bought and paid good money for thinking that they could work and that they don't work. And so for those people who can turn them on and off but just need help keeping them in place, there's a holster in the middle that they can actually put this into. So either our toys will go in this middle section or the toys they already own. And then they get to breathe new life and like new fun into the toys that they bought and love but just haven't been able to use.
Anita Brown Major is an occupational therapist and is passionate about sexual health. She says that although devices like Heather's can help enormously, when it comes to sex, living with a disability can be rather complicated.
I think when people have disabilities at any stage, often even if they've got a partner, the partner doesn't want to break them, is often the case. Or, you know, and so you get this ability where you, like, if we just don't actually even touch, or we won't go there. So a lot of the work that I do is actually we ban sex. We say, right, you can do everything with your partner for the next 4 weeks. It's all touching. So we can introduce touch again. You need to keep the pilot lights burning. Let's have sex ed 101, but let's talk to your partner about sex. How do you talk about it? And then once the conversation started, there's so much that we can do, like medication impacts on sexuality. So can we change the medications? Can we change the positionings? I often say planning for a sexual encounter likes playing for tennis. You need to book a court and you need to be, you know, somewhat fit sometimes. You need to get into your tennis gear or your sexy gear. You need to figure out whether you're playing up against the wall by yourself or playing with a partner or with doubles. But it's actually about really breaking it down to the practicalities.
So it seems there is a world of support for every aspect of living with a disability and a piece of assistive technology to go along with it. With the help of engineers, designers and therapists, the world really is our oyster.
ABC Regional Storyteller Scholarship recipient Mandy McCracken looking at assistive technology, and this story was recorded outside the lockdowns, very COVID safe. To find out more about the guests that Mandy spoke with, you can head to the Life Matters website.